Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Liberty Bigly podcast. I'm your host, as always, Patrick McFarlane, and I'm live streaming this episode on float.app, which is a Facebook alternative that was made by anarchists and runs on a blockchain system that I don't quite understand yet because I've just kind of discovered the platform. But I would strongly urge everyone to check it out. I really like it so far, and the development team is very responsive and has been working on it. And I think it's pretty promising. So just checking out how this stream is going, and it looks like everything is all right. So I wanted to talk a little bit about this Netflix show that I started watching with my wife called Slobby's World. And there's lots of economic subjective value things at play in this. A lot of what some people might call price gouging is occurring in this show, and I really like the show. I think it's great. It took a little bit for the main guy to rub off on me, or to warm up to me, or for me to warm up to him, rather. But I really started to enjoy it, and basically what this is a reality TV show, kind of a la what is that? The Netflix show, or not, excuse me, the Las Vegas show about the Pawn Stars, show where someone has on the History Channel, where someone has something, they go into the pawn shop and they talk with Rick and they talk about the history of the item and all that good stuff. In this show, Robbie Slobby is his name, and that's a reference to something. But he runs a vintage toy, game, and apparel store that sells 80s and 90s vintage clothing and toys and basically pop culture memorabilia and stuff like that. And the great thing about it is that he is very transparent about his markups. And his markups are sometimes like approaching 1,000%. And I'm not even kidding. Like, he will go to like a Goodwill store or some kind of other thrift store or flea markets and find niche vintage items. And he will repurpose it. He will source it and sell it at that markup. And for instance, he does this all the time as his bread and butter. He takes for like let's say a Harley t-shirt, some crappy faded washed up Harley t-shirt that is sitting in a Goodwill bin for $5 or $10, you can buy it for, he will repurpose it and sell it in his shop for $100. I kid you not, $100, and people will come in and pay for it too. And I can just see people on the left or people who are economically illiterate really be upset about this as some kind of price gouging or something ridiculous. Often it is people of a left bent who go into his shop and agree to pay voluntarily these marked up prices. But I thought, what a great lesson in economics this episode or this show is. And I think everyone should watch it. Maybe you would enjoy him, maybe you don't. I find him to be like, he is obviously incredibly intelligent and very business savvy. And I think his outrageous persona, this Robbie Slobby, his outrageous persona might turn some people off or might have you put your guard down and think that he's some kind of an idiot or something. But or a buffoon or what have you, but it is obvious that he is incredibly knowledgeable. He's eccentric, but he's incredibly knowledgeable about these niche products, that pop culture products that came out in the 80s and 90s, designer fashion items, things like that. One thing that blew my mind is because things are in vogue, and this is subjective value right here, because things are in vogue, knockoff items, bootlegged items, they'll call it, replicas. Say you have a Gucci designer purse that was bootlegged by someone, made to pass off as Gucci, or some like hockey jerseys made in China. And I've done this. I have several Chinese hockey jerseys. Some you can tell the difference, but some you can't. Usually if you're in the know, you can tell the difference. But because of what Slob, for some reason, the market has shown that knockoff items are sometimes even more valuable than the original designer items, which is crazy. But there's several episodes in the show where someone will bring in a fake bootlegged item. And in some situations, they're actually worth more than the original item, like MCM designer. It's like a German 80s Gucci or something like that. I'm not into designer or anything, but I was watching it on the show and it's something like that. So I thought that was really interesting. And I'm going to play this news. I wasn't going to play anything from the actual Netflix show, but here's this news article from a local news agency that did a story on him. So I'll play this.
I'm Slimy Robbie. I'm the owner of Generation Cool, the dumpest 80s and 90s vintage store in the universe.
It's been a wild ride for this local store owner.
Everything's just been like one really amazing kind of merry-go-round, and it's more of a merry-go-round that goes up and up and up as you ride it, you know.
Robert Hall, aka Slobby Robbie, is the owner of Generation Cool on 4th Avenue.
The essence of what we do is nostalgia and those pop culture images, those pop culture ideas, whether it's Michael Jordan, Polo, He-Man, Mr. T. These are all things that can resonate with somebody.
The retro 80s, 90s store features blasts from the not so distant past, including Ninja Turtles, Hulk Hogan, and Britney Spears. Their show, Slobby's World, recently started airing on Netflix, and it's a big hit.
Well, I've always been in demand to take pictures with people, but I would say now I have to add an extra hour onto my day to take all the pictures, you know, whether it's the bank manager or the waitress.
He's gotten a lot of new customers who are also big fans.
I watched it last weekend, so there's 12 episodes, I think, and I watched all 12. So
what brought you in?
Just a Netflix show. I was watching it last night, binge watching, you know.
Slobby Robbie says the new fame is great, but he won't ever forget his roots.
4th Avenue in downtown has a real funky kind of thing going, and there's a lot of eclectic people. So I think I've always fit in well down here. And I went to Tucson High, two blocks away. This is my part of town. These are my people. So we're going to stay connected to our people.
Yeah. So just at the beginning of the video here, most of you are probably listening to the podcast of this, but they show a black and red, like Michael Jackson Thriller. Here it is. A black and red Michael Jackson Thriller leather jacket. And it's the reverse of what Michael Jackson actually wore in the Thriller video. The Thriller one, it was red main color with black stripes on it. But someone, they were thrift shopping and found this and paid like $10 for this leather jacket. And Slobby Robbie did an art show type thing where he had band t-shirts that he displayed like art pieces on the wall. And they're these beat up raggedy ass, like 1980s, I don't know, Bon Jovi t-shirts and Iron Maiden t-shirts and stuff like that. Sold each of them for about $100, $100 or $120, and then took this leather jacket that he paid like 10 or 20 bucks for, and he sold it to a DJ for, get this, $800. It was listed for $1,000, but he cut her a deal because he's just a wheeler and dealer. And these ugly ass, I think these are a special design Nike. It's yellow and cream for you who are watching or just listening to the audio. These Nike shoes, he bought, I don't know, really cheap and flipped them for hundreds of dollars. And I think that this is a beautiful lesson in subjective value. And plus the service that he is providing, because I was talking about this because my wife and I were watching this. Some of the items on screen, this was a Gucci. So this sign, this polo sign he's carrying in this video right here, this polo sign for you who are listening, it's like a half, 3 or 4 foot tall red polo sign with the polo, like horseback rider playing polo. He bought that at a vintage market for like $40, and then he flipped it and sold it for like $1,000 to a special client that he had. And he was pretty open about it on the show. Here's an MCM like fanny pack, a designer German fanny pack that he sold for a couple hundred dollars that he probably got at a thrift sale or something like that for 10 or 20. So I just thought this was an excellent lesson in subjective theory of value, but also in a certain service that he's providing, and of course, risk that he is taking. But it's interesting to watch this and see all the tactics that they use to source these products. And a lot of it includes scouring swap meets and flea markets and going through everything. And it looks like they have a fun ass time doing this, drinking and picking things. It's gotten to the point where people know who he is now. So he has to send out people undercover to work for him, who work for him, who will source and pick these things. But the hours that someone would have to spend scouring the internet and scouring flea markets to find these vintage items, I think that's the money that they are paying in to for the service of having Robbie source these items for them and finding these certain items and catering to them. And in terms of Robbie, it seems like he has a clientele that he will regularly visit, and he picks certain items for them because he knows that they like polo stuff, for instance, and he will go to their house and he will bring the items for them and they will buy it. And that's a very unique service that they are paying for that is built into the price of the item. So, I mean, you listen to the audio for you who are watching the stream or will come across the stream on Float. You see what Robbie looks like. I mean, he's very eccentric. He refers to himself in that way. He's basically a man child, a 40-year-old, maybe late 40s, a man child with, he's kind of overweight. He has like a bit of a poofy, out of control hair with a big beard, and he's wearing ridiculous funny glasses and a Versace long sleeve t-shirt that's like salmon colored. And he has crazy, like, I don't know, he kind of looks like Terrence McKenna a little bit. But he is business savvy, and you see this. He talks to all of his suppliers, and he does mutually beneficial exchanges. He develops these relationships. You can see him wheeling and dealing, and there's a lot going on there, and it's incredible to watch him at work. And I think that despite his exterior, there is genius there. And I wonder how much it never shows what his house looks like. So I'm wondering how extravagant that is. But he has like a hit Netflix show, and he has profit margins upon profit margins. And because he's a brick and mortar store, I have to imagine that his overhead isn't anything huge, but it's probably a lot. I mean, he probably has full-time employees. He needs to pay his rental space. He has to put money on the table to invest money and buy this product and then flip it. And I bet you he buys a bunch of products sometimes and ends up just throwing it out or doesn't flip it. I bet you there's waste there. So knowing what to pick, that's risky too. But getting things for really, really cheap and taking the risk that a $10 investment will pay off for $1,000. Or, you know, you could just buy some old vintage athletic jersey that will never, no one will ever buy, and you sank $2 or $3 into it. But hey, I get that business. That's kind of how personal injury law works. So anyways, I wanted to share that. And I think that you, if you don't enjoy the show, even it would behoove you to, of course, if you haven't canceled Netflix because of Cuties, which maybe I should have done, or you should have done as well. However, it would behoove you to go and watch the show Slobby's World. And if anything, just to marvel at the economics of it and to see all of this in action, but also to appreciate what I honestly think is like the business acumen of this guy. It's incredible. So I hope that this live stream went out well on Float. If you haven't checked out Float, I would urge you to go do that. It's Float, FLOTE.app. And you can start an account if you're sick of Facebook. And most of the people on there, honestly, are they're voluntarists or they're some kind of anarchist. There's lots of people. It's, you can support creators with blockchain. I would encourage everyone to check me out on Library. I've heard it pronounced Libry, LBRY.TV. Or you can go to their other site, Odyssey. O-D-Y-S-E-E, odyssey.com, and search Liberty Weekly. Keith Knight is on there too. That's going to be, I think, our preferred spot other than BitChute. I really like BitChute. Of course, I've been on there for 3 years, very near the beginning of when it launched. But anyways, that's, I get more views there than I do on YouTube. So I really appreciate that. I appreciate everyone who watches there. I might repurpose this video for those platforms as well. But I'd love for all of my listeners, especially people who would be listening on Liberty Bigly, you're the Liberty Weekly elite. So slide into those platforms. But anyways, good to talk with you guys or talk at you guys. I hope that you had a great Thanksgiving, and I hope that you spent it with your families as you should be. And I hope that you have a good week returning back to normal. Anyways, peace out.